or the text and the message for this class doesn't change much, because until you get it, you ain't got it, right? And it seems like the same thing needs to be said over and over again until we come to the knowledge of the Son of God. Ephesians 4 talks about that. Talking about perfecting the saint, the work of the ministry, edifying the body, until we all come into the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. I mean, that's what we're doing. That's the resounding theme you're doing every time you come to church, every time you come to prayer, every time you open your Bible, every time you do any kind of Bible study, any time you read any kind of book, a biblical reference. I would hope you're not reading any other kind of books to put anything on your mind that shouldn't be on there. Anytime you're doing that, we're all doing the same thing. The message doesn't change. To come into the knowledge of the Son of God. To know Jesus better. When you know Jesus better, you know you better. When you know Jesus better, then you find out who you are and how you are. You find out your functioning, your attitudes, the way you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to handle people, how you're supposed to handle different affairs in your life. What do you do about lack? What do you do about sickness and disease? What do you do about confusion? All of those things are in Jesus. One of the number one problems in today's church and the clergy and whatever else you want to call it is that we proclaim something that we don't know ourselves. We're preaching a message that we don't have locked. Many times we're preaching a lesson that we haven't learned. Thus, no power. It's the evident reason why there's no power. People don't want to come to church because they ain't got no power in the church. It ain't nothing else. They don't see nothing no different. Why should I use some extra time to come do that when you ain't showing me nothing different? True or not true? You got some family members that won't change their mind. There ain't nothing different going on. It's the resounding theme over and over again. We can search for this message and that title and that subject. And this the one that's going to do it. You ever had that? Well, you thought that was the message that's going to do it right there. This the one that's going to set us loose right here. This one right here. Right? Then we work with them for a little while, and then you end up in the same place. Come on, amen. Amen. Right? And then you got this message. They preach this message. This is the one that's going to free us. Right here. This got to be the one right here. Right? You don't feel like that. I feel like that before. This got to be the one right here. Yep, this changed everything right here. And then nothing changed. Something's wrong. There's a problem. It's not a problem with the message. A lot of times it's not a problem with the messenger. It's the receiver. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. The message doesn't change. It's a resounding theme that Jesus had. It's a resounding theme that the whole Bible has. Remember this, that all roads, John chapter 5, real quick, all roads lead to Jesus. Every single road that you decide to all of them are like the road to Damascus for Saul when he became Paul. All of them are going to lead you to a knocking off your beast encounter with Jesus. Every time you go on a trail in the scripture, or a trail in Revelation, it'll always lead you to a knocking off your beast encounter with Jesus. I have no time to go over there, but when Paul is on the way to kill Christians, he thought he was doing the right thing. Listen, he was Saul before. Saul was very learned in the Jewish law. So he thought that what Jesus did and people preaching about Jesus was blasphemy. It's the only the right thing. He thought it was wrong. A lot of them thought Jesus was blaspheming. Because they said, we ain't never heard nobody talk like this before. He called himself equal with God. So Saul is on the road thinking he's doing the right thing. Saul was on the road thinking he's doing God's work. Uh-oh. He was on the road. On the road to Damascus, on his way to do God's work. I got to go shut some more of these fools down because they're messing up the gospel. That's what he thought. And here we go on the road to Damascus, a knocking off your beast encounter. You'll never forget that. A knocking off your beast. Whatever it is that you think is taking you wherever you're going, it'll knock you off your high horse. A knocking off your beast encounter
so much of a knocking off, and the light will be so bright that you'll say, who art thou, Lord? You know his name before you knew who he was. You go read it. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. I'm the one you persecute. Next thing Paul said, what will thou have me to do? And then here we go. Jesus gives instruction to Paul. Knocking off your beast encounter. All roads. It ain't just on Damascus. All the roads. Any trail that you're going to go in that Bible is going to take you back to. Everything before Jesus was pointing towards him, pointing forward towards him. Everything after pointing back to him. They say all the men of God that read about in the Old Testament are shadows of Jesus. If you go research them a little bit, you'll see Jesus in there. But they couldn't finish it because they wasn't the sinless lamb. But it was all shadows. Trying to give us a shadow of Jesus coming and what was coming, what was going to happen. It all leads there. John 5:39, one of our favorite scriptures. You can read it. Ready to read? Are you there? John 5:39. And they are they which testify of me. Well, the next one, what's the next part say? But and but you search them and you won't come to me. Not but and you won't come to me. And you won't come to me. That you might have eternal life. We can stop right now. Class could be over. That's enough for you to realize what you're doing wrong or right. You can search the, so it's possible. Can we use some we conclude some things, right? It's possible that I can search the scriptures and still not know Jesus. At John 1, and I have time to go there. Don't turn there. But start talking about he was the light of the world, and him was the light of the world, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Right? Y'all know that part. We read this before, right? He is the word. Jesus is the word. Ain't no study in the word if you ain't studying Jesus. Ain't no revelation if it ain't Jesus. Inside of Jesus, every revelation, and every revelation better contain Jesus. If there's a revelation that don't contain Jesus, it's not a revelation. Over in Matthew 16, let's write it down for your own study time. Over in Matthew 16, here we are, Jesus coming from Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus stopped and said, and they just come from they come from chapter 14. They just come from feeding people. Jesus broke bread and fed all them people with the 5 loaves, 2 fish, right? He didn't broke bread and fed all the people. Then we now did the part where Peter and walked on the water, right? Y'all know the story, right? Everybody else thought it was a ghost, all the disciples on the ship. Jesus made them go, it's a ghost. Peter said, Lord, is that you? If that you, let me come out. So we know the story, right? So now we're in chapter 16. And he said, now I'm gonna show you the difference between what we're supposed to be and what we are. He said, whom do men say that I am? Everybody get the answer. Everybody start talking the next time. Matthew 16, he said, whom do men say that I am? Oh, they started. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say, everybody talking now. Some say a lie. He asked the disciples, all his life, all 12. Some say John the Baptist. Some say a lie. Some say one of the prophets. Everybody chatterbox. Everybody got something to say. Sound like church. Sound like a bunch of church people, no power. Everybody got a message. Nobody got a movement. Everybody got a message. Nobody got no momentum. Y'all know we can get the run in it. Y'all know somebody come in and talk. We going to talk all the noise we can to talk. Tell the truth. And I'm listen, it ain't. It's only noise when nothing happened behind it. Till you get the. John the Baptist lied. They're saying the deep stuff. They're saying deep stuff, you know. They thought they had a revelation. Are y'all with me? They thought they had a revelation. They thought they had the right answer. Jesus said, but I don't know. But who do now? It gets personal now. We go from who do men say, right? And everybody's answering because everybody's familiar with what men talking about. Come on. Everybody's familiar with what men talking about. Then he said, who you say that I am? And only one person answered, Peter. He said, thou art the Christ, son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood ain't revealed this to you. But my father's in heaven. You got a different connection. He said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He starts talking about, I'm going to give you the keys. Whatever you bind on earth, bind on heaven. Whatever you lose on heaven. But see, there's two places now. Now, where are you? Do you know what men say, or do you know who he is? You say, no, do you know? You know, you preach, do you know him? Right. Do you really know him? Remember now, and remember this, and I want you to write this down. Remember we were talking about knowing. Remember? Did we talk about knowing? And the knowing the Bible. Knowing the Bible meant some intimacy. Some intercourse, some intimacy that would produce, that would reproduce. Right? So ain't no difference in the knowing. So really, a lot of times we are just informed, but we don't know. Because there have been no intermingling. All right? Are y'all with me? So the Holy Ghost tells me this. He says, knowing is when you have intercourse with the information. You know something when you become intimate with the information you receive. Okay. And now the intermingling of the two. Okay. So now here you are, and here's what you're informed of, but you don't really know it until they come together. I know that I'm supposed to forgive, right? But you don't really know you're supposed to forgive until you forgive, right? I'm informed that if I give, it'll be given to me. Good message, President Shane, to get it run over. Some man give it to my bosom. Luke 6:38, right? We're informed about it, but I don't really know it until I be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving who? You think you know, but you have no idea. You ever heard that statement before? So it's not until we bring those together do we really know a thing. So now we get to run in what men say. And most of our lives are like what men say because we're stuck on this system. The reason we have lack, the reason we don't have the things, the reason people's needs are not getting met, the reason not reaching more people, because we're more accustomed to what man says than what the revelation of God says. Right there, you find yourself in there. Who do men say to them? Everybody got something to say. Don't they? We start talking about some other subjects in here that you like to talk about that's not Jesus or whatever. I mean, we'll chatterbox all night long, wouldn't we? We'll just talk about the game and talk about the show and talk about all night long. And talk like you know. You talking about Jesus? You get quiet. We don't know much. Two men say I am. Everybody answer. But who you said? Now we get personal. See, now it's got to get personal. If it never gets personal, the revelation knowledge should never stay corporate for you. You know what corporate means? Like we're all together in a room. Like we have corporate worship. Like yesterday, we come to church. Anybody went to, who went to church yesterday? We went to church yesterday. You had a corporate service. Everybody's in there. And revelation knowledge come. Well, it should have came. The preacher preaching, right? It should have came, right? Revelation knowledge come, right? So now, all right. But it shouldn't just stay in a corporate setting. You shouldn't just receive corporate revelation. You should receive a personal. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now, because of that, he was able to be a pillar of the church. He was able to be a foundation, a rock that the church could stand on. Because of the revelation. Because he knew. Now, we go back. Why could Peter answer before the rest of them? Well, Peter could answer the same way you should be able to answer. Because at the beginning, when he saved Peter. Remember at the beginning when he met Peter? Y'all remember the story when he met Peter, huh? You know when he met Peter on that boat? He said, let me use your ship. Let me come aboard your ship. People tell them they found Jesus. No, we ain't found Jesus. Jesus found you. Huh? Yep. Yeah. Hey, come aboard your ship. Let me use your ship. I know you've been, let me use your ship. Launch out there. Let me preach off your ship. Do y'all hear what he's saying right now? Let me get on your ship. Let me preach off your ship. No, y'all ain't hearing me. You ain't hearing me. Let me get on your ship. This is your ship. This is your vessel. Let me get on your vessel and then preach out your vessel. Just shoot out from the water a little bit. Shoot out from the bank a little bit into the water so I can preach off your ship. And he said, nah, that whole scripture is Matthew 6:33. Right? He said, because you let me use your ship, I'm going to put the thing on there that you was concerned about before I got on there. Right? So because you let me use your ship, here's what we're going to do. Not casting there. Oh, whoa, Jesus. Now, I already let you use my ship. I already invited you in. All right, now you asking me to do something else? You want more of me? You're demanding more from me? Come on. I let you on my ship. I already prayed the prayer to tomorrow. And I even lost out from the bank. I'm even in the, I done put myself out a little bit. He said, cash in that. Oh, hold on, Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Listen, we've been toiling all night. I'm tired. We've been working all night. Anybody ever worked on anything all night? Okay, so the next, you ain't trying to talk to nobody the next day. Do it. Let's do it again. You tripping. I'm about to take a nap. It's time to go lay down, right. Cash your net for a draw. Whoa, Jesus. Whoa, hold on, Jesus. We've been talling all night. We ain't took nothing. What makes you think that you know these waters better than me? I'm telling this amazing story that's in the Bible, right? This amazing truth that's in the Bible is for you to find yourself. Because many times you're asking the same question. You don't think you're asking them that way, but you are. Find yourself. All right? I've been working all night. I ain't took nothing. I've been working all these hours. And overtime. And it still seemed like it disappeared. Anybody? Anybody? Come on. Hey, man, come here. All right, here we go. So now we at home now. All right? Done all this. Take another. But nevertheless, at that word. Peter had a certain attribute about him. Peter was a crazy fella. He was a wild child. But he's wild enough to listen. Wild enough to be obedient. He wasn't a rebel. Get it? Peter said, at thy word, I'll let down the net. Well, we know the story. He enclosed a great multitude of fish. So much that his ship started to sink. He had to call his partners. They bring their ship, and their ship started sinking. Peter dropped all the nets and say, he grabbed him by his leg and say, I'm a sinful man. Get away from me. What is going on? But I'll follow you everywhere. And then left what he thought he knew to go with what he knew again. Left what he thought he knew to go with what he knew. Like the new thing he knew, right? He went with the new knowing. Because it got to be. This is my profession. And you have come. You ready? Mm-hmm. You have come. You're not a fisherman. You have come into my profession. And showed me how to do my, you have come into my profession and done my profession better than me. You can't do something. I'm a professional fisherman. And you came up in here and did the thing that I couldn't do all night long. Change everything. Let you use my boat. Listen to your word. You feel my boat till it's sinking. That's Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these. We're backwards. We're trying to read these scriptures to get things done. When in actuality, these scriptures are trying to get you done. It is finished. It's trying to get you done. It's already done, but it's trying to get you done now. Like if it's already done, you know we say that, right? By grace, it's already done, but I'm trying to get you done. Because you're the problem. You're not done. You're not matching up with the doneness. So here we go. All roads lead to Jesus. Search them scriptures. Do what you're doing. But all those roads lead to Jesus. And if you don't come all the way to him, then you're searching in vain. The letter itself killeth, but the spirit giveth life. John 6:63 says, the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are alive. That's him. That's Jesus. So what is it that we spend most of our time looking for? Your mind should never be able to get away. If your mind can get away, that means you're immature. You're not, your mind should not be able to get away. It shouldn't be able to get away from Jesus for too long. Like, I know you got to go to work. I understand. You got to go. Who gave you the job? Okay, I know you got to go to work. You got to go do the different things. But he comes on your ship and does your profession better than you will. Maybe you're struggling at work because you ain't listening. You keep doing it the way you've been doing it, and he says, throw your net this way. And it was a different side of the ship than what he had been fishing on. Throw your net on this side, right? And you enclose a great multitude. You know, a lot of times, you're not using my imagination. You ever use your imagination when you think about this? And in my imagination, I'm thinking that I'm looking at the ship, I'm looking in the water, and I'm underwater, I'm looking. You know, anybody fish, you know, they got the little things you can use sometimes where you're having in front of the boat and you can tell where the fish at. Anybody, any fishermen in here? Anybody know you go and they got the little screen and tell you they got fish over there. Now, sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong, right? But I can see myself under the water and I can see the fish just piled up right there. The same, it's just like that fish he had to catch with the fish and the money in his mouth. Yeah, I can see he's just waiting on it. And I can see the fish, the boat right here, and I can see the fish on the side where Jesus told him to launch out, told him to throw his net, and I can see the other side just empty, and all the fish just came to that side of the boat. That's how close you are if you'd only adhere to the word. Now, it's not difficult. We make life hard. We make life difficult by knowing what men say and not having a revelation of who he is. Martha Mary, bringing Jesus to the house. Well, I'm sure that's a pretty big deal. Jesus coming to the crib. Jesus coming to your house. Let me use right now our modern day leader. Apostle coming to your house. Tomorrow. Tonight we're going to clean up all night. Y'all know when we got company coming over, right? Go inside. I remember we used to have company coming to our house when we were little. Me and my brother, my sister got company coming over. We get the house scrambled. They coming up. They going to be here at 3. We cleaning up, and it's not so much. We just clean up, vacuum. If the floor might be clean, we're going to vacuum again. And get down to the crunch time, just put it in the closet, right? You going to clean up, because I got to have it clean for when you come in here. I'm honoring you when you come in. So now Jesus coming to the crib. Yeah. So it's only right to get in there and be like, all right, I can't knock Martha too much, because I might have been a little nervous too. Jesus come on, we got to get it right. Got to make sure everything right. And make sure everything is cooked right and everything. Because, you know, I got to make a good impression. I want Jesus to be comfortable while he's here. It's Jesus. You know who Jesus is, right? I want to be right. Boom, boom, boom. So Martha, boom, boom, boom. She all doing all the proper things, doing all the right things. He's doing everything. And here's Mary. Now, I don't know about y'all. When we just clean up with my brothers and everything. I'd be doggone if I clean up and you ain't cleaning up. I'm telling. I'd be doggone if I clean up. Mama. I had one time, I got this story. I was the youngest for a while, right? So I got this story where we used to have the hallway, just had one hallway to the house. And so it had a mirror on the end of the hallway, then you had the rooms. And so I used to get away with all kind of stuff, right? So my mother tell me this story all the time. So here I am, and we're supposed to be cleaning up. Everybody's supposed to be cleaning the room. Me and my brother, me and Leroy Jr., we sharing a room. We sharing bunk beds, right? And so we supposed to be cleaning up, but I know I can get away with stuff because I'm the baby, right? So I'm in the mirror. I'm not picking it up. I'm not picking it up. I'm making a song. I'm not, but it got a mirror. So I'm in the hallway in the mirror. I'm not picking it up. I'm not, and my brother said, you need to go pick it up. I'm not picking it up. So I'm going, right? Now, you know, I'm teasing him because I know he can't hit me because, you know what I'm saying? Because he's going to catch a whooping because I'm the baby, right? I'm not picking it up. I'm going. I'm not picking up. Boss by my mom in the mirror. I'm picking it up. I changed it because I, you know, you about to get in trouble. You ain't helping clean up. It's a problem, right? Mama going to get us if we don't help clean up. Where you going, Martha? Sitting down. All of us would have had a problem. We'd have told Martha, you out of order. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Martha. You out of order. What's wrong with you right now? You're disobedient. You're a rebel. You'll never follow no instructions. You don't know how things are supposed to go, Martha. I mean, Mary. You don't know what it's supposed to be like. Look at you. So Martha comes to start telling, Jesus, go tell Mary to come help me clean up. Look at her sitting over there. She's sitting right there by you, like you, like she a guest with you. This our house. She probably clean her room too. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much, sir. You cumbered about a much. You so worried and shook up and razzle dazzle and running all over the place about all this different stuff. But Mary chose that good thing. And one thing is needful. She chose that good thing. And that thing can't be taken up. She's sitting at Jesus' feet. How much cleaning up are you trying to do without sitting at Jesus' feet? Do you not realize that the cleanup happens at his feet? That's where it happens. That's where all the magic happens, right there where Jesus is. You're all over the place. You're everywhere else. You know what men say, but you don't know what the revelation is. Calm down. Find out where Jesus is. You know, you go to sleep and you wake up and you walk around and everywhere, like right now, he's right there with you. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've overcome them, little children. You've overcome them. All in my head? You've overcome all, what's them? All them things that's trying to tell you something that you're not. All them things that trying to tell you you're broke when you know you're not supposed to, you're not broke because you're rich. In Jesus, you're already blessed. All these things trying to tell you you're sick, although we were here. By his side, we were here. All these different things trying to tell you to tell, but you're really the head, right? Right? All the different things tell you you're conquered, but you're more than a conqueror. All these weapons that try to come, but we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. All these things, all these, you have overcome them, little children. Why? Because greater is he that is. Amen. He that's in the world. He's sleeping with you and rising with you and walking with you and eating with you and talking with you, but you just don't know. Do you know the story about when Jesus was in the ship and they were going across and the waves and the wind started tossing and Jesus was on the ship, but he was a I mean, they were smart enough. They were scared enough, I guess. But they were also smart enough to do something. What they did? Woke Jesus up. You don't care that we perishing? We about to die out here. Jesus get up and rebuke the wind. Wave, peace be still. Everything calm down. Could it be that Jesus, you have Jesus lying dormant on the inside of you? And so it's so turbulent right now because you won't wake him up? If your head ain't with Jesus, where is that? If your mind can get away from him that long, what are you doing? You know too much of what men say. And not enough of the revelation. Now, he did the same thing to you. He got on your boat. He saved you. He delivered you from all kinds. You owe him everything. How much you owe him? He shouldn't even have to tell us that the greatest law. What's the greatest law and commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. He shouldn't even have to tell us that. That should have been a given. That wasn't for us to learn. He was trying to tell a lawyer. He was trying to get the lawyer together. He wasn't trying to preach to people like us. We should have known it already because the fact that we've been delivered. We owe him all that already. We're not doing him a favor. The favor comes from him. So now when I'm reading these scriptures and I'm looking at these scriptures, all I'm looking for is Jesus. Jesus made a statement, and it's a resounding theme all over the Bible. It never changes. The message never changes. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you just think he's talking about heaven, but he's talking about heaven right now. In earth. Listen to me. There's no other way, but Jesus is the answer. Say it. Now, we've been so watered down over the years that when we say that, you know, people say, well, I ain't too spiritual. I'm not too in the church. Nobody said nothing about church. We said Jesus, but we give them that right to say stuff like that because we don't have no action going on. True or not true? Mm-hmm. Right? And so, Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. Right? He who was, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things or become new. It's a different way of living. It's a different way of functioning. Now, we think in sin and not sin. No, no, no. We're victory and not victory. Forward or backwards. Progress or non-progress. Winning or losing. He who is in Christ, he's a new creature. All the other things, who do men say that I am? That pass away, and behold, all things become new. They become fresh. They become fresh revelation. All things become revealed. You get it? But you got to be in Christ. So here's a question. I know you're in that word, but are you in Christ? Y'all know how we talk. I've been in the word for years. You know, you got to get in that word, right? You get in that word, but are you in Christ? It's the way. It's the way. It's teaching you how to get into Christ. But don't stop. You get right to the finish line. You get right to the victory line. And you stop because you think you got something deep. If it ain't Jesus, it's not that deep. Are y'all understanding me? You go far, but you don't go far enough. So now here we are. We're like lawyers now. Now we're like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now we like them that know a lot of the scriptures and a lot of the lists. We can tell people what they're doing wrong and how they're doing stuff wrong and tell them what they need to do, but no action. But no manifestation. The theme, I'm riding in the car today, and I stopped at the light, and the Holy Ghost said, the theme don't change, Montrell. He said, I'm not asking you to do nothing any different than what I've been asking you to do. He said, I don't have no new thing. He said, one thing is needful. He said, I say it over and over again. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And the second one, just like this, there's God and it's your neighbor. So he put that with Matthew 6:33. You see, first the kingdom of God and righteousness, all these things will be added. The things that you're trying to get done. And I find myself trying to get things done. You know, because I'm trying to reach people and, you know, I'm trying to reach young people. And sometimes it's a little hard and you don't feel like, you know, am I doing the right thing? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. That's everything. There's no room for nothing else. There's no space for all this other stuff. Right? I want it all. Right? He said, and just love me with all that. Love God with all that. He said, then love your neighbor like you love yourself. You ready? I asked in the last class. I asked y'all. You ready? Tell me what it is that Jesus used the anointing for himself. I'll wait. I mean, even for his kinfolk, even for the people walking with him. Like, Jesus didn't pray a lot for the disciples. Because sometimes we say we're doing something for others by praying for people in our household. And don't stop praying for people in your household, right? But sometimes it stops there. And so it stops there. Did y'all hear that?
Yep.
Tell me what he did. I'll wait. Is Jesus the goal or not? Haquan, is Jesus the goal or not? Is Jesus the goal? Tell me what he used for his own personal gain. I'll wait. We be praying for all kind of stuff. And then we start using scripture for it. Yeah, not because you ask not. You can ask what you will. So you don't realize that the precept of that is his will. So the resounding theme, this is Jesus. I want to be like Christ, right? This is Jesus. Jesus was totally committed to mankind. I'm not talking about your charity work. I'm not talking about going giving out turkeys on Thanksgiving. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying, going to pass out whatever. I'm not talking about when you stop at the light and pass out something. And that's cool. I'm not knocking that, all right? Bless God for that. But sometimes you think that's it. Now you done. No. It's a constant lifestyle all day long. You know? The only thing that's tough about this, Terrell, the only thing that's tough about this is that when you go down this road, it's a lot of things you got to leave. When you go down this road, it's a real crucified road. Because a lot of things you're comfortable with kind of begin to fade away. A lot of things you care about, you don't care about anymore.
things we get to, it starts to open up a little bit. It's scary though. I'd be nervous. Like the deeper I get in Jesus, the more nervous I am. But it's a good nervous. But I'd be nervous because like it's walking on water. Because I'm not used to this. I'm not used to being over here. I look back on my life sometimes, and I look back on my life like I've had a long, long, long one. But I look back in some of my younger years, my teenage years, then my 20s, and I say, well, I look at myself and say, well, I don't do nothing. I don't do that no more. Like, and I'm not talking about bad stuff. Just I used to love watching that, and I couldn't tell you what's on. I used to know what would come out. I'm a music dude. So there's a little store called Music Center right there in Gonzales. And every Monday, I knew music came out. No, music used to come out on Fridays. New CDs came out on Fridays. So like clockwork, every Thursday, I'm at the CD store asking the CD guy, you got this new CD? And he would have them in the back. He's not supposed to release them until the next day, but he'd release them to me because I would come in all the time. And I had a whole case full of them, old CD cases. Remember CD cases? CDs. Don't talk about when iTunes started. What? You go look on my, you got thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of songs. Scrolling through my iTunes the other day and I couldn't find nothing that was going to appease my heart. It's just another, I ain't deep, I ain't that smart, I ain't that spiritual, I ain't that special. I'm a little focused. My focus is a little different. So a lot of things that people care about, I just don't care about them. Look up with all that stuff. Be anxious for nothing. A lot of stuff that you're anxious about because you're not focused about it. I'll never forget the time when I told him last year and I was soaking and the Lord took me to the cross. I mean, clearly, I got my eyes closed in the room. He took me to the cross. And I'm in the air. And the cross, Jesus on the cross. Hi, he up anybody on the cross. And I'm up and I'm face to face with him like this, right? And I'm looking at him and I say, what? I'll never forget this. What in the world makes, I said, why are you doing this? And I know the story, right? I know, but I'm looking, I say, what causes a man to do this? Right? And I begin to think of the love of God and the love of Christ. And everything started falling away. Like for while I was there, focused on him, ain't nothing else mattered. We so cumbered and worried and stressed and caught up and running around and trying to fix this and trying to fix that. Don't you feel like that sometimes? So we all over the place that we hurt and focus. Looking unto Jesus. Your problem is you're not looking at him. The reason it don't go right because you're not looking at him. The reason it ain't functioning like it should because you're not there. How long is it going to take you to get there, though? How many years do I have to keep bringing you around the same circle? I remember I was dating this girl one time, right? And Lord told me this years ago. He said, Lord told me this. I'm dating and it would be all right and it wouldn't be good. And it'd be all right and it wouldn't be good. And I was a young, you know, your young love and y'all, they call your nose wide open. Yeah, you know the old statement? They say your nose open, right? You all caught up. This your first girlfriend. You all caught up, right? And so I'll get good and then go back. And it's like, oh, and then it'd be okay and then go back. It's crazy. It's just confusing. It's crazy. All right? And Lord said, and he's telling me it's clear that he said, you're focused on her too much. He said, when you start realizing I'm God and she not God, that's when you'll make progress. He said, but until then, I'm just going to bring you in the circle and bring you back to the starting line until you learn the lesson. What happens when you fail second grade? They call it repeat. Maybe that's why. Anybody got any chronic things in their lives that's been there for a long time? They're chronic. Maybe your money is chronic. You just never get past this level. Everybody say hmm. It could be hmm. Consider hmm. Maybe I need to make a change. I'm learning to I'm a preacher, but I don't want to be preachy, right? All right. So I'm learning sometimes, they call it, I'm going to put the ball in your court, right? So I'm going to ask you a question. What if maybe you need to make some changes concerning that? What if it's that? Like, what if it's that I'm not looking enough?
Like, what if it's just that? What if whatever bothers me, anybody got anything that bothers them? Anybody? What if that thing is because I'm not looking enough? Because I'm telling you, I'm looking at Jesus and everything just, I ain't care no more. And then there was a level of compassion that came upon me. And I became more concerned. I had to talk to myself the other day. I became more concerned with what others had going on than what I had going on. I became more concerned with the well-being of others around me than my own. It's just, everything changed. Now the resounding theme is going on in the Bible. And this is the one he's trying to get you to get. You ready? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, your soul, and your heart, right? And love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do those, I'm going to take care of you. Matthew 6 said, he said, take no thought for tomorrow. He said, look how I take care of the birds. The birds. The birds don't pray in tongues like you do. Huh? When was the last time you seen a bird at service? Bird ain't reading no scripture, but he taking care of them. How much more for you? So the resounding theme is this. You ready? And he just rattles all over the Bible. Seek first kingdom of God, righteousness, all these things will be added. Giving shall be given you, good measure pressed down, shall get run over. Shall men give unto your bosom, right? Delight thyself in the Lord, he give you what? Desires of your heart, right? Commit thy works to the Lord so your thoughts be established. In all your ways acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. Over and over. If I keep searching, y'all keep searching, we'll find a whole bunch more. He's saying the same thing. Where are we? Where are we at? Where is my head to where I don't see the thing? Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's in red in your Bible, ain't it? That Jesus talking. Come unto you, all that heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Find me and Lord, you find rest for your. For my yoke is easy and my burden is. Light. Come on. Why don't we know that? We're informed, but why don't we know it? Because we don't mingle. We don't have. Every day, you should be making a connection with the revelation of who Jesus is. Every day, you got some information yesterday at church, but have you had intercourse with it? All right, we grown. Huh? Have you become intimate with the information? You get information right now. You're writing on notes. Praise the Lord for that. Writing on notes. Ah, praise the Lord. You got notes. Boom. So when do you infuse it? When do you function in that? Say, forgive. Somebody do you something wrong. You got to forgive them, right? You got to forgive them, right? Well, you need to forgive, right? But ain't it kind of hard? Yeah, can you get a key on how to do it? Jesus did it, and he showed us how to do it. You ready? We only love God because what? He first loved us, right? We can only do anything. If we can only love God because he first loved us, we know we can only love anybody else because we love God and he loves us, right? That's love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, right? Right? And then the second one is you love your neighbor. You can't do the second one without the first one, right? Right? So here we go. Forgive. You forgive. But I can't forgive until he forgives. Huh? Number one, me, but then number one, them. So now Jesus on the cross, all the way to the end. All this stuff they done to him, and here he go. I don't know what we'd have said at the end. Take me down! We'd have said something else. Here go, Jesus. Father, forgive him. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. For you to forgive them, the Father forgive them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in. But you've been trying to forgive on your own, huh? You've been trying to do it on your own, but you can't. You can't. You can't do it on your own. Some, I don't know why we're talking about this, but some people got to forgive people. Some of us holding on to stuff that we shouldn't be holding on to. And we're trying to do it when we're not asking the Father to forgive them. And then they'll forgive through us. Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. And then the peace come on you. You get peace from that. I say, so we done.
way that it works, you ready? The way that it works is just love God and love others. Keep looking for Jesus. You don't have to take care of yourself. You get it? All right, you've been taking care of yourself how long? It ain't working. Come on. Right now is what you've been doing. Right? It ain't work. It didn't work. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It didn't work. Let's try something new. Right? Be Jesus. And you have to worry about a thing. Many times those family members, you worry about children or different things of that nature, your family members, children, all that stuff, you're worried about that and you're concerned about that. The answer that you need right there, the answer you need for that thing is in what you're doing for others. That don't mean you got to go find nobody, a child, to go do something with. Just listen to the Holy Ghost. Pray for somebody else. Galatians talking about, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man. What happened? Hold on. What he going to reap? That. What is that? That he sowed. So you realize sometimes instead of going to try to get it, you need to sow to try to get it. In the sowing is the love. Stop letting so many moments pass by without thinking about them. Right? Like, stop living so much life and doing so many things, and it should come back. It should be like a string that you can't, like, it should be a string that's always tugging on you. Like, where's Jesus? I said this in my last class. I'll say this to you, and I'll be done. It says, I told him that your greatest message is you. You are your greatest message. I don't come in here with a lot of notes. I'm not deep. I'm not spiritual. I'm not all that whatever. I don't claim to be none of all that stuff, all right? What I do know is I love Jesus, amen. Right? And I trust him. And I really want to be like him, right? And so because of that, like today, I'm just thinking about Jesus on GP, just for general principles. Like, I'm just thinking about Jesus because I don't really want to think about nothing else. You know, I was thinking just a little while ago, in our society in 2016, we have more to think about than any other generation before us. Yeah. I started thinking about what the people had to think about in the days with Jesus. The lights out, there wasn't no light bulbs. You going to bed. Mm-hmm. Ain't no TV on, ain't no nothing else. Your mind is free, so you bet you going to hear something. Amen. We got so many voices. Yeah. And so many things going on. Yeah. But the principle remains the same. Calm down. Calm down. So now I'm thinking about him not because I want something from him. I'm thinking about him not because I'm trying to get a message. I just can't stop thinking about him. Amen. I ain't special. I'm just focused.
That's it.
I'm trying to get out the door, huh? Using a when you use a camera, that camera right there, any kind of camera. Anybody ever used a camera before? Huh? You know, sometimes I've taken pictures before. And your focus can be, you just turn it a little bit, and your focus be a little bit off. And then when you're looking on the bigger screen, you see how blurry you are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it take a little twist, a little bit, and everything get clear. Mm-hmm. You're closer than you think. Mm-hmm. But just make your adjustments. Huh?
Yeah.
Make your adjustments, and then it'll get clear. Mm-hmm. You get a clear picture. It'll be crisp. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll take it downstairs.